On the show today, we've got the director of Parks and Recreation for the city of Frisco, Rick Wieland, with us to fill us in on what's happening with some of the park projects around the city. I'm your host, Scott Ellis, and this is the Frisco Podcast for April 24th, 2014. All right, so Rick, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us today.
I appreciate being given the opportunity.
So as the director of Parks and Recreation, let's start off by just getting a sense of what you oversee and what your responsibilities are with the city of Frisco.
Well, since coming to the city in 1996, we've obviously seen a great amount of change and growth during that time. I oversee basically different divisions that intake and park maintenance. We also have a recreational facility that's called the Frisco Athletic Center, which is a large recreation center, much different than the rec center that maybe I grew up with, but it's a 100,000-square-foot facility, and it's one that we oversee and manage. We also basically maintain and operate all medians within the city, with the exception of just a couple in the area. We also do right-of-ways and the maintenance and mowing of those areas. We have senior adult services that we provide through our senior center there in Frisco Square. And then we have recreation services that are provided both in programming as well as facilities. So we've got a combination of a lot of different things that we do. It's been a privilege to be with the city to do that over the years.
So it sounds like a job that is all the things that makes Frisco beautiful and fun.
Well, yes, I'm biased in that. We're very fortunate. We've got a great, what I believe, a great community that provides the opportunity for us to be able to provide that kind of service. I look at things like our library services that are done by Shelley Holly, is providing that type of service. So we very much are granted for that.
Good. Yeah, we've talked a lot about the library on the show and on the site, and big fans of what the Frisco Library is doing, so... Glad to know you guys have some involvement there. So let's dig into the first of the park areas that I know has been a pretty hot topic lately, and that's the skate park.
Right.
What is the latest on that? Where do things stand? What are the plans from this point going forward?
Well, the skateboard park has been one that, like any project, it kind of has its own evolution. It started years ago where we had skateboard parks in Texas. Probably have taken a while to be able to really take off. Most of that happened in the legend, of doing this and, swimming pools and things in California. Probably started that process 30, 40 years ago. And Texas was a little bit slower in coming up upon that. But in the last 10 to 15 years, we've seen an influx, especially in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, of several different skateboard parks coming to be. We've had some interest, and we've tried to gauge that through some of the survey instruments that we do, every few years. And what we've found is that interest continued to be there. And so we were able to put it on to the 2006 bond election that we did. And it was a facility that, at the time, we looked at it and said, we were looking at the city of Allen, where they did the Edge, which is a very much a concrete skateboard park that was very much different than some of the others that had been in the area at that time. And we looked at that as an example and put money, identified that within the bond issue, and it was supported by the community at that point in time. So it started maybe there, and then what we've done since that point in time is the city council asked us to look and see, there have been in the past more private entities that have done that type of work. So we looked at that, and we thought, is there a way to be able to find maybe a private entrepreneur that has done that type of business to see would it work best in that environment as opposed to a municipal facility? And we seeked out and actually found an individual that had been in that business before. Vicki Eisenberg, who Eisenberg's in Plano, had been a private facility for several years. And they were moving from Plano, and we worked with her for a period of time to see, was there a way to maybe make something work here in the community? And unfortunately, we just weren't able to find a facility for her because she would have preferred to have an indoor facility. And they're just, with the demand and the market demand that we've got right now, it really didn't afford itself. So we weren't able to pursue that. And because of that, the city council said, all right, Rick, let's go ahead and move forward with what we identified in the bond issue. Let's build a public facility and move forward with it. So what we did, probably going on about 6 months ago, is we began the process to identify what we believe to be what is the right location for a facility. Many communities, unfortunately, I think in the past, may have chosen to put facilities like that maybe a little bit in the outreaches of things, where they wanted it to be maybe by itself and that type of thing. And I understand, you know, that those communities chose that effort. What we believed is that you put a facility like this that's going to be used by youth and adults alike, and you try to provide it in a community setting that is a part of a lot of different activities. So the Park and Recreation Board and the Community Development Corporation, which is our half-cent sales tax board, both agreed that the location would be a community park. So we have two different community parks that we haven't developed as of yet. We call them our Northwest Community Park site, which is in the northwest part of town, and our Northeast Community Park site. And what was decided at that point in time when we reviewed it, looked at it, was we believe that the best location for a skateboard park would be in the Northeast Community Park site. The other element that had been talked about at one point in time was a BMX facility of some kind as well. City of Allen has that. They've got inline hockey, which has not necessarily proved to be very successful, perhaps. And what we said was, well, let's put the BMX portion of this at our Northwest Community Park site. That's where we've got our mountain bike trail that's there, been very popular, been a great community effort and partnership for us. And so what we're planning on doing is later this summer is to start the elements of building that part of it. Which will be it's a pump track. So it's not really for competition. It's more for, you know, recreational riders being able to learn how to ride and that type of thing. So it'll be a perfect setting, we believe, for that. And then they chose for the northeast side was to put the skateboard park in that location. So what we've been doing over the last several months is working towards master planning that northeast park and then also the skateboard park portion of it. And the input that we've gotten has been great. We've had probably 40 to 50 people in different public meetings that we've had. And I've got to admit, over in my career, public meetings are always interesting in other cities, where if you get two or three people coming, you know, you feel very grateful that they came. But you never know if that quite gives you the input that you want. In these cases, we had 30, 40, 50 people at these public meetings providing great input. And to me, the thing that was most important about that was in the skateboard portion of it, we actually had youth involved. It's one thing to have mom and dad, but you really don't want Rick's skateboard park. I don't think that's what we all need. I think what you want is you want to have those kids' input because they're going to be the users. Those are the ones we've got to develop a good relationship along with the neighborhood that's around it. And they've provided great input. The consultant's been able to take what they have talked about and put it into a plan that will be looked at by both the Parks and Rec Board and the Community Development Corporation in May. And they'll be looking to approve, or they're going to consider and hopefully approve, the master plan for the Northeast Park as well as the skateboard park at that point in time. So it's evolved from probably nothing more than a conversation, you know, years ago, to where I think we're very close to a part, and we've got funding in place, and hopefully would be able to develop that here in the next 12 to 18 months. And that's our desire, and hopefully we'll be able to do it.
Okay, so you kind of answered my next question, which was, when are we actually going to have this thing opened up? But it sounds like there's at least a rough timeline, assuming things get approved right now, of about 12 to 18 months from now.
And it's only rough in that typically what we try to do in our community park sites, because they're a little bit larger. I equate community parks to be a lot like a high school. It's a place where people come that drive from other parts of the community. It's a larger site. It's one where you have a lot of activities that take place. And in that particular park, well, we've got over 100, well, in Northeast Community Park, we've got about 75 acres. And it'll have lighted facilities within it, probably athletic facilities such as soccer fields, lacrosse fields, that type of thing in it. And we typically develop those in phases because they could be anywhere between $20 and $30 million total. And this element of it, the skateboard park, has a budget of about $2 million. Don't know that it's going to take that to be able to build what they want, but that'll be a portion of it. And then we're going to look with both boards to see, do we want to do another part of the phase as well to provide more than just a skateboard park at that time. So the timing of it may be geared more towards their discussions at that point. But a month from now, we're going to know a lot more about it.
Okay, that sounds good. For those who don't already know, what are the locations of the Northeast and Northwest parks? Where are people going to find those?
The Northeast Community Park is located off of, its northern street would be Panther Creek Parkway, and it is bordered on its west by Honey Grove Road, which is right across the street from Isabel Sim Elementary School, for those that are living in that part of the community. And then Taylor Street is the southern boundary of the park at that point. Northwest Community Park side is actually located adjacent to where Lone Star High School is, which is off of Teal Parkway, just north of Panther Creek. So it is a large site that we've got. It probably won't be developed fully until we finish developing probably Northeast Community Park, and then we'll move towards Northwest.
Okay. Now, I've actually been up to the Northwest area. My wife and I have mountain bikes, and we like to go riding, and there are actually a couple of trails up there already. And so if anybody doesn't know where that is, it's up past Lone Star High School. Keep on going. It kind of turns into a little gravel road, and then turn to the right there, and you'll find the entrance to the bike trails.
And you'll find a great trail system in place. And like I said, this summer we're looking to improve it with additional BMX facility, looking to do some pond improvements. There's an existing stock pond in that area we'd like to come in and be able to dredge out and improve so that it can be a usable site. And that way we could provide for family activities, too, to be able to fish and be able to walk through the site as well. So we're looking at doing some improvements there, probably on a temporary basis, so that when we do fully develop it, then we can get into more of the heavier development portion of it. But it's a great site right now.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. And speaking of trails, are there other trails or other facilities like that, I guess, going in anywhere else in Frisco for people who want to have a place to hike or run or bike or whatever the case may be?
Well, the thing that we hear more when we do public surveys, which we really do try to do on a regular basis, because you want to know what the community's thinking, and we've grown so quickly, it's one of those things you want to make sure you're still getting what the input is. And the one thing we hear from more people is they would like to see two different things, and this has been historically what has come back. Hike and bike trails have always been a part of that. Open spaces have always been a part of that. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, you can get in such a hectic lifestyle of being around concrete and things that are so active. I think people really want to have the opportunity to get away from it a little bit. The nature of it, I think, is in those areas where we have trails along creeks and that type of thing. I think people love that. They love the aspect of being able to kind of get out in nature and not necessarily have to walk through lighted ball fields and different things, you know, to do that. So we have got a trail system. If you go to our website, which I'll go ahead and promote it now, but if you go to friscotexas.gov, that is the city's website. And then if you go to friscofund.org, that is where we have our Parks and Recreation website. And within that, we provide explanations and information about all the parks we have, all the facilities, as well as our hike and bike trails that are in place. And it'll have a map there, as well as all the parks that are identified with those trails.
Okay, very good. So we will definitely put a link to that in the show notes as well, so everybody can find that very easily.
That'd be great.
Yeah, so moving on, let's talk a little bit about the rec center that you mentioned earlier that falls under your domain.
Right.
And I understand there's also some expansion going on there.
There will be. We have the Frisco Athletic Center will be, it's in its seventh year of operation. It opened in October of 2007. And it has been, as I mentioned, it's not necessarily the rec center that I grew up or maybe you did. It is one of the largest in the state. And we are blessed by the fact that the community has supported it as well as they have. We're very proud of the facility, and it's one that is unique in a lot of ways. It is one of the only recreational facilities of that type that is operated by a city that actually generates enough revenue from its memberships and its programs to be able to offset the operational costs as a part of that. In fact, it's the only one in Texas that does that, and it's one of only a handful in the United States that does.
So it's really, from a revenue standpoint, self-sustaining.
It is. Now, the debt service obviously was paid by the residents in the 2002 bond issue that was done. But aside from the debt issue, we do maintain and operate the facility as well as any of the capital improvements that take place with it as a part of that. So up to date, the replacement of exercise equipment, that type of thing, other mm-hmm. capital items such as that, have all been done as a part of the operational cost. Now, the expansion of it, we've got an outdoor aquatic area that has been a great value, especially during the summer when we get into those wonderful 105-degree temperature days. But it's been very helpful for us. And what we've looked at is the potential of expanding it. We don't have a large footprint, per se, but we do have enough room to be able to take what we're doing now and almost double the amount of room that we'd be doing in the outdoor facility. So what we're looking at trying to add is a couple of the, and we're trying to really branch out so that we're covering different age segments, because obviously we get more than just young children, and we get more than just teenagers. We get families and everyone that come through there as well. So the things we're adding kind of hit different things. We've got a large playground that today we've got a smaller playground that may accommodate maybe 20 to 25 children on it. And it's a water playground, and obviously the young kids really love it. But what we're hoping to add is a facility that will probably take over 250 children and be able to put it into place on it. So that'll help increase its use as well. We'll expand the lazy river that we've got and provide additional opportunities. And for people like me that don't necessarily like to get on the playground or jump into a mat racer or something of that nature, I love it, lazy river, so I'm all about that. But the other part that we'll probably add will be a large mat racer, which is a slide that'll have four different slides that you can all leave at the same time and race down to the bottom mat. And then we're also looking at trying to add potentially, what we're looking at is maybe an open area that we also have where we may put in sand volleyball courts and that type of thing as well. So we're trying to hit as many segments of the community as we can. We've tried to keep the facility in a fresh way so that it's something that people believe that we want to reinvest in and be able to have as great facility. So that's what we're looking at.
For anybody that hasn't already become a member of the Rec Center mm-hmm. or who has maybe just moved to Frisco and you're looking for a place like that to go, the Frisco Athletic Center is an absolutely phenomenal facility. I mean, the city has done you guys have done an incredible job there. Love what's already happening and glad to hear that there's hopefully more to come.
Well, we've got a terrific staff that's there, and it is to their credit that they've been able to provide the facility they have. It's and again, we're blessed by the public support of it and hope to have it there forevermore.
Okay, so let's go out on this. There are a couple of new areas that are being developed in Frisco that do not necessarily fall into your domain. That, I'm thinking specifically of the Wade Park project. It's not really a park, but the development. It's going to be more of a Shops at Legacy type of development. Mm-hmm. And then there's also, of course, all the stuff that's going to go in around the Cowboys headquarters that's coming in. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any involvement in that, or is in terms of like the green spaces that are there and the stuff that's around that, or is that all kind of a different deal?
You know, that will probably be a separate issue. I know John Lettler with Development Services works very hard, through the development process along with the Planning and Zoning Commission and the City Council going through that. I think there's no doubt there will probably be some spaces there that are being looked at for public spaces to be able to, to try to branch out and provide great opportunities for people at both facilities. I'm sure the Cowboys have an interest in wanting to make it a gathering place, and I think they've shown that, both in the facility they've got currently in Arlington, and I would gather that they've got that interest here too.
Okay, very good. Anything else you want to leave us with? We know Parks and, FriscoFund.org.
It is. I will say this, we're obviously, even though the last couple of days here, as we're broadcasting this, we've had some rain, and which is wonderful, and we hope we continue to get some spring rains here. But I will tell you, the city is very serious about water conservation. We try to do whatever we can to be able to reduce the amount of potable water that we have. we're very fortunate in that in our community parks, which were, again, those larger parks, we have either well systems that we've put into play there, or we have a reuse system, which actually reuses water that's already been through, and it's provided a great opportunity to be able to really give us a chance to conserve water, reduce the amount of potable water there, and yet still keep the facility safe and usable. I will tell you there are occasions where you'll see probably some areas that may be a little bit drier than normal. If being in stage three and hopefully not having to go any further than that in our water conservation, we do probably not water many of our park sites or our medians quite as well as much as we might should water be more readily available. But we do. I do want to emphasize the fact that in those areas, we absolutely do water our trees because that's a healthy resource. We want to make sure that we do that, and those are in place. So, you know, water conservation can't be done without the help of everybody, and we want to be a part of that as well.
I'm going to put you on the spot. We didn't talk about this before, but if people want to learn more about the water conservation efforts, whether it's for Frisco in general or for specifically for the parks,
right.
Is there information about that on the website?
You know, the best one to go to, even though we've got some information on ours, is probably to go to the city's website. And again, that's friscotexas.gov. If you go there and then go to Public Works, the Public Works Department, and Gary Hartwell is the director there, they have information through their educational sources about all types of water conservations. The front banners that we've got on the city's website also identifies what we're doing as well. So, the information is absolutely out there, and I'd encourage everybody to be able to go there.
All right, we're going to go hunt some of that down, and we'll put that in the show notes as well. Rick, thank you so much for joining us today. This was really interesting, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
All right, so Wendy, what's going on this weekend?
Well, it's a little bit slower this weekend than last weekend, now that we're through Easter and we're officially into spring and springtime weather. Frisco Rough Riders are happening tonight versus the San Antonio Missions. First pitch is at 7:05 in Dr. Pepper Stadium, and this is the last home game for a couple of weeks. So if you want to catch the Rough Riders now, that would be good. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Lend Me a Tenor at Frisco Community Theater inside the Black Box Theater in the Frisco Discovery Center. And then on Saturday, we have a big annual event by Frisco Family Services. Their One Gala 2014 is happening, and we have a lot of information on that on a previous article that we've done on the site. So check for more details on that. And then on Saturday and Sunday, something for your kids and science. We've got the Frisco Mini Maker Fair at 10 a.m. on both Saturday and Sunday at the Frisco Discovery Center. And then finally, the big, huge, largest event of the year in Frisco is Edgefest on Saturday night, happening in Toyota Stadium. If you don't have tickets already, I'm not sure if they have any left, but check it out on the website. And Edgefest 2014, lots of music, will be super, super fun.
Yeah, so Frisco's going to get invaded when Edgefest comes to town, so be ready.
That happens every year. I don't know what year this is.
The Maker event sounds like fun, though.
I know.
I think I know what I'm doing this weekend. You think they'll let me play?
Probably.
Yeah.
Only if I go with you, though. So that's it for this weekend in Frisco, and this is the last weekend in April, so get ready for May.
All right. Enjoy, guys.